So I've known Carl a very long time. I think when I first met Carl, you had like really lovely floppy curtains.
Yeah.
A bit like Hugh Grant from Four Weddings.
What happened there? Yeah, Life happened.
That shows how long I've known Carl.
I was gonna say you were knee high to a grasshopper, but I don't think you've ever been knee high to a grasshopper.
Yeah. Carl is someone who I enormously admire. Every pastor needs some behind-the-scenes friends that they can talk to about anything. You can go to you know, have a good old whinge about your ministry if you need to, or if you've got a conundrum, they can sort of give you some wisdom and strategy and ask you the questions that you need to be asking in order to find out what God's doing. Carl is one of those people where we meet about once every 2 months, and you guys will not know how much this guy has invested in me, and therefore I've been able to bless you. So you've already had a big impact on this church. I know that. I'm probably the only person that knows that. But this guy has already been a massive blessing to you all. So I commend him to you. And I just want to pray for you before you speak.
Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for Carl. Thank you for the role that he stands in at the moment, able to bless churches right across the Southwest. Thank you for what you've shown him through his travels. And through his travels with you, his discipleship journey. Thank you for all that he carries. And I pray that as he speaks now, that we would be able to catch something of what you're doing. Lord, that there would be a word for each and every one of us. Some of us are in the building specifically to hear something that's about to come out of this man's mouth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. And as you speak, may we find life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Aid. Morning, everyone. It is good to be here. Thank you, Aid, for that introduction. Very kind indeed. It has been good to know you and the family for a long time. We need to thank God for these guys, right? And pray God's blessing on them, especially over this sabbatical, that it will be a blessing to you, that you'll be restored and full of life for whatever God's got for the next season. So for those that don't know me, my name is Carl Smethurst, and my role is that I'm a regional minister for the Southwest Baptist Association. My particular role is to do with mission. So that is involving church planting, pioneer mission, so frontline mission, helping churches engage with communities. It was a joy just the other night to be here with some of the leaders from your mission communities. It was just a wonderful evening of hearing how God is blessing this church. God is good. Is that right? All the time. Yeah. God is good, and we need to thank God for what he's doing in this place. But what I love to do is to tell stories to hopefully inspire you, to encourage you about what God is doing in other places as well. The patch that I serve on is all of Devon and all of Cornwall and most of Somerset. So it's a fairly big patch. And there's about 90 or so churches within that patch that I serve, this being one of them. So there's, you know, almost 90-odd churches who are sister churches to you who are gathering together in different ways today and worshipping God across the whole of Devon, Cornwall and Somerset. And we're part of Baptist Together, and that's an organisation that's got 2,000 churches across England and South Wales. So we're part of something that's bigger. And I've got a little video which I think we can show. And this is just a snapshot of some of the things, some of the people who are part of your family who are engaged in frontline mission across our particular patch. I gave this leaflet out before, and it's called Home Mission. Home Mission I'll mention in a bit, but it's a way that we support each other in God's mission across the whole of the country, actually. These folks, you're already connected with. You are already supporting them, but you might never have seen their faces. And maybe I'll share one or two stories, and then we're going to open God's word together afterwards as well. But let's just quickly look at this video. Thank you.
As this incredibly challenging year draws to a close, we want to say a heartfelt thank you to you for your ongoing support for the mission of God amongst our family of churches in the Southwest and beyond. This year, because of your generosity, you have supported Ben in Seaton, who has developed over lockdown an incredible ministry that is meeting the needs of the least, the last, and the lost of that community in Seaton. And Kay, just up the road in Axminster, whose work is flourishing around a community centre, Pippins in the town, off the back of which now a fledgling new church community, the Life Community, has formed with those who are more mature of faith, but also those brand new to faith who have just been baptised. You've supported Ali, who has moved into Ilfracombe at the beginning of the year, just before lockdown started, doing some excellent work alongside the local secondary school there and in the town itself, developing work for young people and some of those who are most marginalised in our society. You've supported Karen and Murray and the team in Breathe Communities in Penzance. Over lockdown, they've been incredibly creative, having gone online. And the mission of God, the gospel of Christ, has gone out over the internet to people engaging almost daily across the world. You have done that as you have supported these folks. Others too, I could tell you stories of Barney and Sarah in Lou doing tremendous work in that town that is so desperately in need of a demonstration of the compassion of Jesus. I could talk to you about Sam in Littleham in Exmouth, one of the poorest estates in the southwest, where Sam has developed a wonderful community of people. These folks have all benefited from your generosity of giving to Home Mission. And so a huge, huge thank you to you. For the year ahead, we've got others who are sensing God's call to come to the southwest and be part of the mission of God in this place. Some of those will have no other support except Home Mission. And so our desire is to want to continue to be those that release the mission of God so that the kingdom of God comes here on earth in the southwest as it is in heaven. You've also supported our ministry. Southwest Baptist Association would not exist if it wasn't for your giving to Home Mission, as we have sought to support you in your faith and to support ministers across our association. We thank you for your support for us and the national specialist teams, who this year have been more visible than in most years because of just the myriad pieces of advice that they've needed to give for churches who have been trying to navigate their way through the most incredibly difficult circumstances over lockdown and after it too. We thank you for your support and ask you to continue to give to the mission of God through the Home Mission Fund so that the gospel of Christ might continue to be made known. God's blessings on you this year and into the future as you have passed on God's blessings to others. May his name be glorified in all that we do.
So you can read a little bit in the leaflet about the various people you've seen on the screen, and most of them have got their own little video to tell their own different story. There's a line that's in the book of Philippians in the first chapter, where Paul writes to this church about partnering together in the gospel. And partnering together in the gospel might look like all kinds of different things to different people in different places. But I think these are almost like your missionaries on the doorstep, if you see what I mean. You might partner with other mission agencies and support people overseas, and so you should. That is fantastic. But God is doing some incredible things here. As you know, because of Lou and Meg being with you at the moment, people from other parts of the world are coming to our place in order to be part of God's mission, the gospel of Christ, here in the Southwest. So let's support mission here in the Southwest as well. That's what you're doing. This is your story. These stories are your story. And you do support them financially as a church, and I thank you for that. Please do keep supporting them financially. But can you partner together in prayer for them, as you would with your overseas missionaries? Can you partner in prayer? Get in contact with them and ask them how it is that you can pray for them at the moment. They'd so love to hear that there was a church in Totnes that were just bringing their concerns before Father God this week, and they're current. So can you partner in prayer with them? And they're not that far away, so maybe you can give them a visit. Like, occasionally you'll visit someone overseas, an overseas missionary. Well, there's always hands up for those trips. But hey, some of these places are pretty nice as well. Could you head across to Mevagissey or to Lou, or why not head the other way across to Littleham in Exmouth and see some of the incredible things Sam's doing with young children and families, Faith Around the Campfire, Science Church, Lego Church, wear your shoes. And there's all kinds of creative mission activities that are going on. Go and visit. bring back the stories and share something of what God's doing here with them guys as well. It's a real blessing to be part of a family that we can be on mission together. And hopefully it looks a little bit more than just a couple of coffees in a coffee shop every couple of months. It's great and important to do those things, but hopefully we can make mission central to who we are as God's family together. The association serves in all kinds of ways. You know about Invest because of Meg and Lou, and if there are young people who'd like a placement elsewhere, then over the next couple of years we've got placements across the Southwest, including some of the places you've seen on the screen. So please do keep in contact with us about that and other training as well. When I talk about home mission, I always say to these guys, we're going to pray for you. So I'm going to pray God's blessing on them, and then we're going to open God's word. Is that okay? Let's do that. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are privileged to be called on your mission. Lord, thank you for the ways that we see that played out before our eyes here in Totnes on a weekly basis. Lord, for the cafe, Lord, bless the cafe as it reopens again and those that come to it. For the creative arts groups, for the various different things that happen with young people and children in this church. And Lord, those in the community and the schools around and about as well. Lord, may your name be known in this place. May people have the opportunity to respond to you here in this place. And God, you call us to be part of your family, Lord, not independent, but dependent on you and interdependent, linked together to be part of a family. So Lord, help us to recognize those who are serving in other places, to partner with them in the gospel, as you call us to pray faithfully, to visit them, to encourage them, Lord, to provide for their needs, and Lord, recognize that you bless us to be a blessing to others as well. God, will you see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven in the Southwest? And Lord, use us for that purpose, I pray. And Lord, speak to us now in your word. Lord, may we hear your voice. God, may we recognize the thing, Spirit, that you are prodding us about today. Lord, we look to you for words of encouragement and life, for words of challenge. Jesus, I'm so far short of you, and I want to be more like you. So today, Lord, through your word, and by your Spirit, will you make us to be more like you, to reflect you more to this world around you, so that others might see you and respond to you. Hear our prayer. And God's people said, amen. Amen. And so in thinking about this morning and thinking about where we are, I guess, as churches, but also maybe in the calendar, I thought journeys was a subject that we could spend some time with this morning. Most of us, of course, are used to life being described as a journey. Pretty much every time you scroll down your social media, you're going to see some meme or something that talks about life being a journey or something like that. But there's all kinds of journeys, and it feels like for some of us it's significant at this time because we're coming out of this lockdown period, this whole life on pause. Like, even if we wanted to go anywhere, we couldn't go anywhere. Everything was just lockdown and stuff. So incredibly difficult for so many people. God's good, and God blessed us even in those circumstances. But now that we're able to get out and about again, well, there's potential to get back on the road, to start moving again, that life journeys on. Some people love that thought, some people less so. And within the calendar, well, we're in Lent, which is the journey towards Easter. How many, anyone doing the whole kind of giving stuff up thing? There's a few reluctant kind ofs, which is possibly, yeah, I tried, but here we are a week or so in and it's all fallen by the wayside. I made the mistake once saying to a whole assembly full of students in the town where I used to be a local church minister at the beginning of Lent that I was going to only drink water over Lent, right? Now, I love a coffee. I'm looking forward to a coffee after. That's a good machine you've got going on there. I'm liking the look of that. Oh, my word. The caffeine withdrawal was dreadful. And every time that I saw one of these kids on the street, they'd hold me to it. Of course they would. Say, are you only drinking water? Yes, I'm only drinking water. I felt great, actually, by Easter. But I was kind of looking forward to a coffee as well. So I'm very careful with what I tell people that I'm trying to give up. And it's easier to start things anyway. It's easier to start routines than to give stuff up. There's a journey through Lent as well that we are part of at the moment. And I thought we'd read some words of a journey in Scripture. There are many of them. But we're going to read from Genesis chapter 11. And this passage includes, for those that have been around the church for a while, some famous words. They're often called the commissioning of Abraham. God begins a way of making himself known to the whole world through a family, through a people. But what I want to do is to place those very famous words in the context that we see here of a journey. So I'm going to read from Genesis 11 and verse 27. It says this. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Lot, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of the possessions they'd accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. It's an interesting little story of a journey, at least I think it is. Right in the midst of which is those famous words of Abraham's commissioning. If we go for the next slide, please. Thanks, Paul. What I note, though, is that in this journey, it's not all kind of some smooth journey that's ongoing. There's this significant verse, it is verse 31. When they came to Haran, this journeying party of Terah, Abraham, and Nahor, they stopped. When they came to Haran, they settled there. We're not told why they settled in Haran. I mean, someone could have got sick. It could be that they had an oasis or something appealing that was in Haran. And as a result of that, they settled there for a little while. Whatever the reason they settled in Haran, they stayed there for probably quite a while. We read that Abraham's dad, Terah, died in Haran. He didn't make it to the destination. And Haran was this settled place, probably for a period of time. If we take that image that you did see on the screen of a road, it's almost a little bit like in journeying along the road, they pulled into a lay-by. And I don't know if you've ever experienced doing this yourselves. You've been on a long journey, you'll pull into a lay-by, stretch your legs, have a breather. Sometimes if you've been really organised, you'll have made a little picnic, you find a nice lay-by, you stop off, you have a little bit of lunch, and you move on. Well, in this particular journey, it's almost like they pulled into the lay-by on their way from their hometown, Ur of Chaldeans, to Canaan, where they were heading. They pulled into the lay-by. They didn't just stretch their legs. They were in the lay-by and moved in for a little while. They got proper settled in the lay-by. I mean, when you say it like that, it seems ridiculous. Except when I think about my life, when I speak to others, there's something about journeys through life that can be like that. For all kinds of reasons, there's a pause. We pull into a lay-by. It could be the pandemic. It could be illness, sickness. It could be something that's a change of job. All kinds of different circumstances, but we pull into the lay-by. But what I've noticed is that sometimes we get a little bit comfortable in the lay-by. It's almost like we build a house and move in, right? And God's kind of saying to us, look, the road ahead is where I want you. Get back on the road again. Get traveling to Canaan. Get traveling to the place that is the destination. Well, ultimately, Terah didn't make it. He died, not in the lay-by, but in Haran. Let's not be those that when we sense God's call back onto the road, are so settled, so comfortable in the lay-by-in life that we stick there and never reach what God has got for us further along the road. You see, when you read on a little bit, before we get to those famous verses, and we will get to them, I'm not going to go on forever today, just a few short hours that we spend together now, a few minutes. But when we do get to those verses that talk of God's blessings, there's something wonderful and vibrant, and we will talk about them. But there's a verse beforehand that it's worth us acknowledging. You see, when God called Abraham to get back on the road again, he called him to leave his country, his people, and his father's household. Next slide, please. This is a big deal. We read over it quickly because we want to get to the really good section of this passage where it talks about God's blessing. Leaving your country, my word, that's a big deal. There are those of us in this place today for whom the UK, England, is not your place of birth. It's not your home country. Well, when you do go back to the place of your birth, if you're able to, there are things there that are familiar to you. There are things that make you feel at home, I would guess. I'm originally from the Northwest, if you were trying to guess my accent. It's a little bit confused, but I was a Scouser originally. My mum will tell you we're from near Chester, but we weren't. We're from Birkenhead, not far from Birkenhead. And so up in the Northwest, there's certain things that when I would travel back there are familiar. The Marine Lake at West Kirby, mum knows about this. Yeah, the little run down by Park Gate where you buy an ice cream. The top shops, we used to call them, not glamorous. But you see, when I see these significant parts of my country, I feel at home. Leaving that behind was quite a big deal, I'm sure, particularly if you've left a whole different country and come to the UK. It's a huge deal. Yet that's what God called Abraham to do. Maybe that's what God calls us to do. There is sacrifice here. Your country, and the next one, please, your people. My kind of people is a phrase that I hear bandied around a little bit. They're my kind of people, which I like. You know, the people that you can, I call them slippers friends. You can wear your slippers with them, yeah? You can kick back, relax, wear your slippers, and just chill together with these people. They speak your language. They get your jokes. They're your kind of people. Leave your country and your people. This is hard, right? And next slide, please. Not just your country and your people, but your father's household. Well, recognizing that in all generations and today, not every father's household is a place of safety or security. Sadly, that is not the case. But what's represented in these passages here in Genesis is an identity. Abraham's identity was around his father's household. It was the way that it worked in that generation. Well, we don't know what his relationship was like with Terah, but his father's household was significant because it gave him some part of his identity. Leaving behind the familiar places, leaving behind your kind of people, leaving behind a chunk of your identity to get back on the road again out of the lay-by. It's not that appealing, right? Well, I won't pull the wool over your eyes, as if I could anyway. That's not what God promises, that it will be easy. In fact, there's a sacrifice. It's difficult to get back on the road again, to get out of the settled and the secure place, and to go to the land that I will show you. You see, at this particular point in time, I'm not even sure that Abraham definitely knew he was going to Canaan. He knew that's where they'd started. That was their original intent. But getting on the road to the place that God would show him meant that it was a bit of a journey, to a blind journey. He didn't know where he was going to end up. Yet still, Abraham responded to God's call on his life and journeyed on from the settled and secure place. What about me? What about you? If God calls on that journey from the settled to the place that he'll show you, will you go? How will you respond? If there is sacrifice required, if there's a leaving of security behind, but if you know it's God's call, how will you respond? Well, look, let's talk about the journey itself. Because here we see that this journey that God calls us on is one that we know his blessing. Because God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. This is the beginning of your story, Totnes United Free, And all of us who are followers of Jesus now, this is the very beginning of our story. This is the point where we realize that God chose to make himself known to all peoples on earth through initially a family, a group of people who you are now a part of. That you are those who, with journeying with God, would know that blessing and he would make himself known to all peoples on earth through you. Next slide, please. When God says, I will bless you, that's not just a platitude, right? And it's not that you've sneezed and the Almighty says, bless you, right? He's talking about proper, full-on provision for all that you need on that journey. Because he's not called you to leave you without that. So all that you will need as you journey with Jesus along that road, God will bless you with. Do you know God's blessing in your life? There's at least three people that are nodding, and I'm encouraged by that. Hopefully there are others as well, right? There's this old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. Does anyone know the rest of it? There you go. Right, we won't sing that one this morning. I was going to sing Father Abraham Had Many Sons, but we won't sing that one either. Right, so, but this is important stuff, right? Do you count your blessings? Do you recognize God's blessing in your life? This ought to be something that is part of our daily routines. As we meet together with each other, we're sharing how we've known God's blessing in our lives right now. And not just with each other that are those of faith, other people on this journey of faith, but those who are not yet of faith, that we talk of God's provision in our lives, even on the tough bits of the journey, especially on the tough bits of the journey, where it's so difficult, but we still recognize that God is with us and he is blessing us. Right, maybe it's not a bad idea to get into the habit of recording that in some way. When I was in local church ministry, we did this thing with the church for a whole year called 365 Grateful, right? There's a hashtag for it and everything for those that do social media. There's a whole website, going 365 Grateful Project. And different people recorded God's blessings in their lives, preferably one every day. So some of them wrote a journal and just wrote down a blessing that God had blessed them with every day. Some people took photographs. I took pictures. I like photography, so I took pictures, and that was on my Instagram, and then I made a big kind of montage at the end of the year. One lady quilted. Well, she didn't quilt a quilt every day, because that would be impressive, but she did 12 panels, and every month she quilted in something that God had blessed her with on each of these. Isn't great, isn't it? Right, so you'd have like a picture of her family and of flowers and I think of a pet, a dog or something like that. The end of the year, we had this blessing service where we all brought these things together, and it was like a big exhibition around the hall, and we it was like show and tell. We showed and told what God had blessed us with over that year. So there was the quilt, there was the pictures, there was art, there was journals that were beautifully painted and coloured and what have you, and it was just the most outrageously wonderful celebration of God's blessing on our lives. You see, there's going to be occasions where you'll get to a day and things are dark and you'll not be able to write anything in your journal. But on those days, if you've got something you can go back to say, even though today I'm struggling, I can see that God in these ways. That helps to raise our faith a little bit, helps to give us a perspective on life which recognizes we are not alone on the dark days when we can't see God's blessing in our lives. We are not alone on those. God is still with us. Even when we can't see him, he is still with us. Let's be those that recognize that this journey out of the lay-by onto the road might be scary to get started, but it's a journey of outrageous blessing from the creator of heaven and earth on your life. And of course, there is not just a case of us gathering in all of these hordes of blessings to ourselves. Next slide, please. Because as we read on, God says this to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth, through this one guy, Abraham, through his family, through a nation, through you now. All peoples on earth will be blessed. Well, how does that work? Because it, again, sounds great, doesn't it? But what we're not talking about here is something that's nice. I mean, I hope it is nice, but nice is not the word for this. We're talking about the power of heaven made known through his people on earth in a way that transforms lives and communities, in a way that brings in the kingdom of heaven before our very eyes here on earth. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about God's blessing through you on all peoples on earth. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Good. Well, and for those that are not sure, well, let's get on and start doing it and recognize the difference that this can make. Practically, if this week you can pray, in fact, maybe we'll just leave a moment before I come to close in just a second, and allow the Spirit of God to put into your mind and your heart maybe two or three people who this week God wants to bless through you. Why not make that into a weekly habit? If you're going to go for habits, that's a pretty good one. So that we're open to God's Spirit just putting into mind and heart two or three people who God wants us to bless that week. And of course, the follow-up prayer to that is, and so then, God, how will you have me bless them, right? And it could be in all kinds of different ways. It could be that you will pray for them. Please do not underestimate the power of praying blessings on people. Anyone read Grace Outpouring by Roy Godwin? Okay, so someone nodding. This is a story of Falder Brennan, which is a retreat centre in Pembrokeshire. So Roy set this thing up, and a number of others joined him. And they simply prayed God's blessing on the farmers around and about where the retreat centre was, consistently and daily. They didn't even tell them at first that they were praying for them. But over the next year, all of the farmers, whether it was livestock or crops, saw their yields start to go up and up and up and up. And something tangible on earth was happening, and they couldn't quite say why. It's not like they'd found some miracle feed for their sheep or some new fertilizer for their that could account for that. It was purely God's blessing through his people on those who were around. What a fantastic witness when they said to them, we've been praying consistently for you over this period of time, and God acts in those ways. Praying God's blessing is a wonderful thing to do. Maybe, though, God wants you to speak a blessing to them. Have the confidence to do that in God's name, yeah, to speak, to offer to pray for them. Some people are really happy to have you pray for them just with the offer. Do you mind if I pray for you? And not everyone will say yes, but a good number of people will. So you pray for them and pray God's blessing on them. Maybe it's something practical. Maybe it's a little handwritten card, a note. Maybe it's a phone call to someone that's isolated or feeling lonely. Maybe it is some flowers or a box of chocolates. Who knows? But if we recognize ourselves on this journey of blessing to us be blessed in order to be a blessing to others, then that's got to look like something. It's got to make a difference in our lives and to those who we're called to serve. Can we do that this week? Can this week you record daily how God's blessed you in some way? And also, can you pray, who is it that you want me to bless? And how do you want me to bless them this particular week? Next slide, please. Look, if we are looking for an example of journeying, an example of how God chooses to use us, then we look no further than Jesus himself. Not long ago, we were thinking about the manger, and in just a few short weeks, we'll be thinking about the journey to the cross, where Jesus, God incarnate, fully God and fully man, perfect in every way, gave himself for all people so that we might know life, we might know sin forgiven, we might know fresh start. As we come together on Easter Sunday morning, we ring aloud what should be a reality in our lives every day, which is that because of Jesus, we know God's kingdom on earth. We experience that for ourselves, maybe not yet completely, but we do experience that for ourselves in the here and now. This truth has changed us, and we believe it will change others as well. And Jesus prayed for his disciples and said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Do you hear the call of God out of the lay-by and onto the road again? Do you hear the Spirit's gentle whisper encouraging you to make that sacrifice, to leave security behind, to leave those things that were precious in the lay-by in order to journey to the place that he will show you, in full knowledge of the fact that he'll bless you on that journey and he'll make you a blessing. Maybe there are those amongst us who feel like that journey's not really started. Maybe the whole faith journey thing is not something that you have experienced for yourself quite yet. You're here, you're interested, but you've not experienced it for yourself. Well, look, this morning, why not get on the road? Get started. It might be difficult to get out of the lay-by, but you feel a little bit of a nudge. And this morning, God says, get started on that faith journey. Get on the road. See where I'll take you. You'll be blessed. Won't be easy, but you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed, and you will bless others. Purpose in life. Part of a mission that is eternal. God's mission on earth. That's what the invitation is to you. For others, you've been on that journey for a while, but you do feel like you've shacked up in the lay-by. Well, look, if that's you this morning as a nudge of God, well, let's get moving again, hey? Let's get back on the road again. For some, it's just the post-pandemic thing. It's the confidence to really get back on board and get moving again. Well, look, if that's the case, hear God this morning, yeah? Hear God this morning. There is more. There is greater. There is blessing on the road. Get started again. I'm going to pray. And then, as I come to a close, there's some words that appear on the screen. And I'll say the bits in normal font. And if you can say the line that's in bold, if you agree with it, at the end of this prayer. It's a prayer that beckons us to move on the journey. And a prayer that recognises that we're part of God's kingdom on earth when we do. But let's pray, shall we? And Father, I thank you that you are a God who gives us purpose. A God in whom we know that sense of privilege of being part of your mission on earth. And if you're here this morning and you feel like that journey's not begun, well, just now, in a moment, don't need to say it out loud, but God is here by his Spirit. And so you say, I want to start the journey. Today, I want to get on the road. And if that is you, fantastic. Hear the celebration of God. Hear the celebration of angels that says, come on, let's journey together. Let's experience God's blessing and be a blessing to others. Come on. And for those who maybe are feeling like they've shacked up in the lay-by, that they're comfortable in that place, secure in that place, but you feel that maybe there's a nudge of God this morning to get back on the road. And just now, where you are, say, Lord, we've journeyed together before. Give me the courage, the boldness, to leave the security behind, to move on where you'll lead. Father, I pray that you bless these people. Spirit of God, may they know your goodness in their lives in all ways. God, may you provide for them on the journey and give them joy on that journey as well. Lord, may their hearts be full. May their mouths speak of your blessing in their lives to each other, to those who you draw them to meet who don't yet know you. And Spirit, just in these moments, just lay on our hearts just the two or three people who you'd love us to bless in your name this week. And God, as we think on those folks a little bit more over the course of this day and over the week, put on our hearts how it is that you'd like us to bless them as well. You know these people who you made. So Lord, help us to know your heart for them, to know how to be a blessing to those people this week. We believe that your kingdom is present. We believe that we will know it more and more in our lives as time goes on. Lord, will you make yourself known to all peoples on earth through your people? We look forward to the day when you will return. We know that completely. But Lord, will you make yourself known? May we see your kingdom present here, transforming lives and communities so that they're more like your kingdom. And Lord, may we experience that in the here and now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And so the line I invite you to pray after each sentence I say is, Jesus, now lead on. From where we are to where you need us together, Jesus, now lead on. And the next one. From the security of what we know to the adventure you will reveal to us, Jesus, now lead on. To refashion the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, now lead on. Because, my friends, good things have been prepared for those who love God. Jesus, now lead on. And God's blessing be upon you this day and always. And may you know his Spirit at work in your lives. Amen. 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 Thank you, Brian.